Begin the current daf Masechtas Becharis Daf Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Vav Mabez, 5 lines up in the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and from our previous Mishnah, where we're discussing the laws of Becharis regarding the laws of the firstborn. And our Mishnah said that if it's what's called Nidma, if it doesn't appear like its mother, rather appears like a different creature, as we had our Mishnah, Mishnah later on, then the halacha of Becharis will not apply. As the Braisa says, Tarmon, learn the Braisa. Rachel Shiel de Min Eiz, if a sheep gave birth to a creature that looks like a goat, or a goat gives birth to a creature that's like a sheep. So, as the Mishnah later on tells us, so too says the Braisa, Petur min ha-Bechayra, then it's exempt from the laws of the firstborn. Now, but as we also mentioned from that Mishnah, v'myesh b'miktza simonim chayeves, but if it does have some of the features of its mother, then it will be obligated, then it's going to be considered like the parent, and will have the laws of the firstborn. Now, Shimon Eimer, we introduce a new opinion. He says, Achei reisha v'rubay daimel imay. So it's not enough to just be similar to the parent, to then be in the halacha of Bechayr Shari and Kesev Bechayr and Eiz. Rather, it has to be that its head and the majority of its body is similar to the mother, then will qualify for laws of the firstborn. Now, Ibaudah, the following question. Le'achila, regards to eating, for example, when you have a cow that gives birth to a creature that looks like a horse. Now, we mentioned previously, on the top of the summit from the previous daf, that Reb Shimon held, it says two times Gamal Gamal, which we had a machlik, is exactly what is the second time Gamal coming to teach us. Reb Shimon says, unlike the Chachamim, he said that one time Gamal is saying that a regular camel which comes from a mother camel is forbidden. The second time that it repeats it is to say that even if the camel is born from a para, the mother is a kosher animal, but it gives birth to a creature that looks like a Gamal, then it's not going to be permitted to be eaten. So, and that's what the Gemara is asking regarding eating. Mi bai Reb Shimon reisha berubai? Does Reb Shimon require here too the halacha of the majority of its body and its head being similar to the mother? In other words, since he holds that regarding the sanctity of the firstborn, there it's not going to have the sanctity unless it has reisha berubai similar to the mother. So here too, he's going to say it's not going to be permitted to eat it if it only has some of the similarities until it has reisha berubai similar to the mother, or not. So we're basically asking two halachas of Reb Shimon how they relate to each other. In regards to kashrus, regarding eating a kosher animal, he said a gamal, the son of a par, is not good. It has to be similar to the mother. Here we have the halacha regarding Bechayr, where he says, a qualification, he says, it's not enough just to be similar to the mother. It has to have Reisha Rubai. Would that also qualification apply to the laws of Kashrus or not? As I'm going to explain. Le'in Bechayr, regarding the laws of the firstborn, which is the halacha that we just quoted, the pasuk says in Bamidbar, Ach Bechayr Shar, however, the firstborn of the ox, which is what we had explained the previous daf, tells us, Achehe Hu Shar Bechayr Shar. It has to be that the animal is a cow, as an ox, and so too its firstborn is a shar. Which that's the halacha that tells us to be similar to the parent, which is the halacha that we're quoting here in this braisa. Now, and on that, Reb Shimon says, what does it mean similar to the mother? It requires Reisha Rubai. Now, that's there where it says, Ach Bechayr Shar, the Bechayr has to be a shar just like the mother is a shar. Aval achila, but regarding eating, what's that halacha? That it's not okay if it's not similar to the mother? That's gamal hu da'asr. The Torah tells us by repeating a second time the word gamal, camel, saying, well, even though the mother's a cow, but if the child looks like a camel, that's prohibited. But that's only because it's saying it's a gamal. However, as we get into Bab Zayin Med Aleph, ishtani megamal, if it's different than a camel, meaning if it's similar to the mother at least somewhat, let's say if you have a horse that's from the mother of a cow, and has some of the features like a cow, then shapar dami, that would be okay because it's not a gamal anymore, it's not a camel. In contrast, by Ach Bechayr Shar, it's saying that it has to be just like its mother, which there it requires Reisha Verubai. And whereas not the case by consumption, maybe there's no difference, just like he requires the qualification of Reisha Verubai regarding the laws of Bechayra, so too regarding being kosher, it has to be totally in the sense of the majority of its body and its head like the mother cow, and if not, we'll consider like a camel and be forbidden to be eaten. So the Mishnah says, Tashmat's being arrived from the following price. Bryce says, Behemet Tahirisha Yoldo, kosher animal that gives birth to a min behemet tamea, the child looks like a non kosher animal. Says the Bryce, Asa Bachila, it's forbidden to be eaten. Now, who is it that told us this logic? It's Reb Shimon. As we said from the extra word Gamal, because according to the Chachamim, if the mother's kosher, the child, no matter what it looks like, it's going to be kosher. Shimon's the one who says, oh no, if it's like a non kosher animal that looks like a horse, it's forbidden to be eaten. Continues the Braisa, Vimdaima Reisha Berubai Le'imai. Now, if it's however similar to the mother in its head and the majority of its body, Then chayiv bebechayra. Oh, then it's going to be obligated in the laws of the firstborn. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is from the fact that it's putting these two halachas together regarding eating and the laws of bechayra. So shema meno, we could infer from this brayse is lachila nami boy Reb Shimon Reisha Berubai, that both are the same. It's just adding even regarding the laws of bechayra, which we said might be more strict, that both of them require the laws of Reisha Berubai. So you see, for eating, it also requires Reisha Berubai. So the Gemara lay no. No, specifically it was just for the laws of firstborn that has to be similar with Reish of Reuben. And the Gemara says, take Nami. A precise reading of this braisa seems to indicate that. Why? Because the Kashavka Lachila, the beginning of the braisa is talking about eating. And then it leaves that, V'kam Le'abachar. And then when it gives its qualification of Reish of Reuben, that has to be similar to the mother, it only says that regarding the laws of the firstborn. But it doesn't say that regarding the laws of eating. Shema Minah, so therefore we can infer, to the contrary, it's only regarding the laws of the firstborn, as we had quoted explicitly just before. That's what he requires Reish Rubai. But to the contrary, I can tell you, for eating, he does not require, and rather for eating, as long as it's not totally like a gamal, if it's a mother, it's a cow, then it's enough with, if it only has partially similarities to the mother to be considered kosher and to be able to be eaten. The Rosh Tikmar says, no. Loyal Memloch, I could really tell you the other way. Lachila nami bai, that really for eating you also need to have Reish of Rubai. Now, ubechayra itzra, why'd we leave it if we're militant about eating, then continue and say the qualification there too, is because ubechayra itzrich, because we needed to tell you for the laws of the firstborn this halach of Reish of Rubai, but really both eating and bechayra need that the child has to be similar with Reish of Rubai. Why? Why do we have to tell you regarding the laws of the firstborn? Because Sokat et Chemini, you would have thought to say, since the pasuk says, as we said before, ach b'chayr shayr, however, the firstborn of the ox, which that tells us this is the laws of b'chayra, and we had interpreted what is that extra word b'chayr saying, at shehei hu shayr b'chayr shayr, has to be that the mother is an ox and the child, the firstborn, is an ox. Now, you would have thought to say, so then b'litiske le'berish v'ruvi, that it's not sufficient for the laws of b'chayr that the child can be similar in the majority and its head. Adika kulein has to be totally a shayr, like the mother. That's what I have to tell you, that is sufficient. But regarding the other way of eating, there it's also not going to be enough with just miktas. Could be they would also require Reish of Rubai. We just had to tell you for Bukhari that it's sufficient with Reish of Rubai. So therefore, there's no raya from this price. The Gemara says Tashma must bring a raya from a different price. Pasuk says in Yikra, Ach ezel lo teichlu. However, this he cannot eat, which this is by the Torah talks about what's kosher, what's not kosher. Mimali hageru umamafrisi haparasa. From those which chew its cud, and those that have split hooves, which are the signs of what's considered a kosher animal or not. It's saying, these have some of them, which as the pasuk continues, es hagamal, the camel. Now, what's that teaching us? Is ze'i ato eichel. This, you cannot eat, which is, like the pasuk's talking about over there, a camel, even though it's born from a mother that's a cow. Aval ato eichel habo b'semen echad. But you could eat it if it has one sign, what's one sign? This is a child that has one sign like its mother. In other words, it's partially similar to its mother. As Tosfos points out, we're not talking about when we say simen echad, that one of the two simoni tahara of a kosher animal that has split hooves or chews its cud. When we're saying simen echad, we mean just it's similar to the mother with its hands, its feet, its wool, whatever it is. It appears similar to the mother. What's this case? Zetame hanoilim and hatar. This is talking about a non-kosher animal, meaning like a horse, but that's coming from a kosher animal. Hanoilim and hatar, meaning its mother is a cow. The iburim and hatar. And also, it even got impregnated from a kosher animal, meaning its father and its mother are kosher animals, but yet the child, for some reason, looks like a horse, looks like some non-kosher animal. That's what the Brayis is telling us from the Pasuk is teaching us that as long as it's partially similar to its mother, okay, then it's going to be kosher. It's only if it's totally like a gamal. Then, even though the mother is a kosher animal, it's not going to be kosher, but if it's somewhat similar to the mother, it's going to be okay. Now, yachal afili ibur min hatameh, you would think even if the mother is a kosher animal, that the child would be kosher even if the mother got impregnated by a non-kosher animal, meaning the male is non-kosher. Tamalama says the Tana Kama, no. Pasuk says in Devarim, se kesavim v'se izim. We're talking about the say is general category of the sheep of lambs and the sheep of goats, which is telling us it's in the plural, which is saying that you have a seh that comes from two kisavim, meaning achihei aviv keves ve'imai kivsa. Until the father is a lamb and the mother is a lamb, that's the Rebishua, only then will the child be kosher if it has some similarities to the mother. Meaning if it's totally like a gemal, it's not okay. when did we say if it has some similarities to the parent that it's going to be okay if both parents are kosher animals? Now, Reb Eliezer, he says, no, he disagrees with this last point. He says, Loi ba'akas al-lahatr es ha-mutr. The pasuk is not coming to permit that which is already permitted. If both the father and the mother are kosher, we don't need a pasuk of achezeh teichlu to say that it's permitted, because obviously both parents are kosher. Rather, he says, coming to add on something more than you would have known that it's permitted. The Eza, what is that? Same case. This is a non-kosher animal, meaning because it has all the characteristics of like a horse, which is born from a kosher mother. And he says, but it's more than that. It's even if the father it got impregnated by a non-kosher animal. And that he says, maybe it's not true what I'm saying. Maybe it's only if it got impregnated by a kosher father. Tamalayma, that's the pasuk says, shayr, an ox, say kisavim b'say izim, a sheep of lamb or a sheep of goats, which is telling us, mekal makam, meaning no matter what the situation is. Where do we see from this? Because from the fact that it says the word seh two times, it's coming to include something to say that even if it's only a seh from its mother, not from its father, even if the father is not kosher, it's still going to be okay if the mother is kosher and it has some similarities to the mother. That's the brisa. But one thing says the Gemara is that both of them agree, correlate tummy. We're calling this child, quote, not kosher, even though the mother's kosher, maybe even the father's kosher. But since this child doesn't have split hooves, even though it's born from a kosher animal, it's being called a tummy min hatar. Now, that's Krib Shimon. That's the Krib Shimon, who he's the opinion that we mentioned in the previous stop that says that when it doesn't have any similarities to the mother, it's like a tummy animal, you can't eat it. That's what he learned from Gamal two times. That's his opinion. So that's the idea we're trying to prove. That, okay, so this Brisa, both opinions are going like Reb Shimon. The Kamar, and what does the Brisa say? Aval ata eichel haba b'simen echad. The only machlokes was regarding you need both parents, one parent. But the Brisa does say, and it's going like Reb Shimon, that you could eat it if it has some similarities to the kosher parent, which is, even though it has only some similarities, going to be permitted, even though it doesn't have reish of rubai. So that answers our question regarding achila. Unlike the laws of Bechai, Reb Shimon does not require reish of rubai, it could just have some similarities. Says the Gemara, no. Hai Tana, Savale Kavase Bechada. The Tana, this Brisa, which incorporates those two opinions, holds like Reb Shimon in one element, which is yes, if it has no similarities to the parent, then it's going to be Tamei, it's going to be Tamei Min Atar, we'll learn it from Gamal, it's forbidden. But Apal Galei Bechada, they disagree with him on one point, that they say it's enough if it's similar in some elements. But we could say that Reb Shimon himself would require Rosh Rubin, and if there's no proof for Reb Shimon's opinion himself, could be for Achila, he would say it's the same as Bechir. Now, however, Vigida Makshi, that those who have the discussion a little bit different. There was a question they had on this Brisa. And from the question, Umaysim, then they responded to the one who had asked the original question, does Reb Shimon require Reish Ruba for eating or not? The way the discussion goes is as follows. The Brisa had discussed that Iburi Min Atame, if regarding the mother's kosher, and the child is like a non-kosher, and if it got impregnated by a non-kosher male, but the father is a non-kosher animal. Now, and that was a machlekes we had if that's going to be valid or not. But the question that the Gemara had asked on that Brisa is, Mima Abra? Could a kosher animal become impregnated from a non-kosher animal that you're saying the case that they're discussing is Vibur min atami if it got impregnated by a non-kosher animal? But Vamri Bishuman Levi, he says, La'ilam emis haberis. There are certain situations that cannot cause impregnation. Like Tamei min atar. A non-kosher animal cannot become impregnated by a kosher animal. A kosher animal cannot become impregnated from a non-kosher animal. Large livestock cannot get impregnated from small livestock. Small livestock like goats cannot get impregnated by large livestock like cows. Not domesticated animals from wild animals. Not wild animals from domesticated animals. Chutz Reb Eliezer machlokas, except for Reb Eliezer and his disputants, who they have a machlekes regarding the law of the kai, which, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Chundaf Ayin Tesma Beis, if a kai, the laws of Eisav Es Benoi, which is the prohibition of slaughtering the mother and the child in the same day, would apply to the kai. And the Gemara explains what's the case of kai. Kai is a mixed breed where the father is a male goat and the mother is a female deer, which, where Shahayim, they're obviously discussing a case that Chayim is Aberes Mebehema, that a wild animal was impregnated from a domesticated animal. The Machlekes was, okay, does, and that's the Kai, that the child is a Kai, does Eisav Es Benoi apply or not? So that's one exception to the rule. But one thing is, that everyone agrees that you generally cannot have different species, Tame and Tar, impregnating one or the other. So what is this case talking about? That they're discussing if the father is Tame and the mother is Tar, and then you have a child. On that, Rabbi Yirmi, he said, oh, this that we're discussing here in the Braisa, that Iburi Minatame, that the kosher mother got impregnated by a non-kosher father, what does that mean? Di'i'aber mikolud. It means to say the mother got impregnated from a father that has unsplit hooves, meaning it's not split like a camel, but really that father was not a non-kosher animal because, yeah, it would never then be able to impregnate the mother. Because that father is ben para, it looks like a horse, but really it's the child of a cow itself. So it is a kosher animal. It's just, quote, not kosher. Now, Valiba Reb Shimon comes. So that obviously is a thing that our Bryce is going like Reb Shimon, in the sense of, because Reb Shimon, as we said, calls such a creature tummy. Because although its mother is a kosher animal, he learned that from the second time saying the word gemal, that we consider it as a non-kosher animal. Oh, so again, we're back to the premise that the Bryce is like Reb Shimon, and that's actually explaining and answering the question they had asked on the Bryce. So how could you have tar becoming impregnated from a tummy? Doesn't mean a real tummy. It's like halachically tummy. But Kamar, and still the time the Braisa says, you could eat the child if it's similar to the mother in some parts. Oh, obviously you see that for eating, since the time of the Braisa, like Reb Shimon, and he does not require Reshav Ruba, it's enough if it's similar in just some elements. And I think my answer is, like I said before, no, haitana savali kavasei b'chada. The time of the Braisa holds like him in one element, which is regarding calling this child, if it's not similar at all, a tummy. But they could dispute him on one element, which is regarding the halacha of being similar. They hold it's enough in just part of it, and Reb Shimon maybe would require even fachila, reishav ruba. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks on the previous brisa that we had brought in, which is being used to try to bring a proof regarding this question we had regarding Reb Shimon. So we have this machlekes, Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua, regarding is it enough if the mother's kosher, or would you also require the father being kosher? So on that, the Gemara asks, remember, is that to say, Reb Eliezer Sava, Reb Eliezer holds that Zev is a Gerim, when you have a situation when something is being caused by something prohibited and something permitted. Because here you have, Reb Eliezer was discussing a case, as long as the mother's kosher, so even the father's not kosher, that mutter, the child is going to be permitted if it has at least some similarities to the mother. Whereas Reb Yeshua Sava, obviously, that Zev is a Gerim Aser, that when you have two things causing, where again, if the father is not kosher and the mother is kosher, then he held, no, the child's going to be forbidden. So is that what their opinions are in the halachas of Zev Zegarim? But on that, as the Gemara Ipcha Shamin Lehu, but we learned to Braisa that their opinions are actually the exact opposite. Because the Braisa is discussing a case of Vlad Trefa, a child of a Trefa. Meaning the mother is an animal that's a Trefa, that's not kosher, meaning it has a mortal defect, but the father is unblemished. Now, here you have a case where the child is Zev Zegerim. The child's being born from a union, one of them being prohibited for a carbon, and the other one permitted. Reb Eliezer says, Lo yikrim l'gav mizbech, the child cannot be brought to the mizbech, which is Zev Zegerim aser. Reb Yeshua says, Oh, yikrim l'gav mizbech, you could bring it to the mizbech, which is Zev Zegerim mutter. As long as one of them is permitted, even though the other one's not, it's permitted. So it's exactly the opposite of what we just said in the previous price. Says the Gemara, no, Biyama Sav Reb Eliezer Zev Zegerim Aser. The truth is, they both hold like this last price that we taught, that as we find regarding the laws of a carbon, Reb Eliezer holds that when you have two things causing, if one of them is Aser, one of them is Mutter, it's going to be Aser. But Vashani Hacha, our previous price regarding the consumption of this animal, if we consider kosher or not, is different, because the im came, because if we would go as we normally do, that if it's impregnated from a non-kosher animal, that it's going to be aser, like Reb Eliezer usually holds Zev Zegerim as aser, then Nichtiv Kra, the Pasuk should have written, Sekesav and Ve'izim, the sheep of lamb and goats, Sevesel Lamali, and this is what we had alluded to earlier, why does it say the word said two times? It's saying that no matter what type of sed is, even if it's only similar to only if only the mother is kosher, even if the father is not, that is still going to be kosher. So it's exeris akasim that's actually excluding it from what it normally is. And similarly, Rabbi Shua Malachi would tell you, yeah, and generally, when you have one thing causing that's us, one thing that's causing the mutter, it would be mutter. But v'hacha here in the halachas of our previous braisa regarding consuming this child, im kain, if it would be the case as it normally is, that it would be mutter, because if the mother's tar and the father's tam, it would be mutter, then lichtiv krash shar kesav v'eiz, should have said the ox, the lamb, the goat, kesavim v'izim lamali. Why did it say in the plural, sheep and goats? Shmamino, because coming to say, Ache Aviv Keves V'imai Kivsa, to say that, because it needs both, it needs two, plural, it needs that its father and its mother have to be the kosher animals, and if one of them is not, it's actually going to be Asr. So the Torah and Exerts of Kasa is coming to exclude, but really, yeah, their respective opinions are in like this last Brisa, but here the Exerts of Kasa is telling us an exception to the rule. Now, going back to what our original discussion is regarding this halacha of Reb Shimon, which we found he says that to be similar to the parent in the laws of Bechayr requires Reisha Berubay to be similar. The question was regarding Achila, would he hold the same thing or not? So as you were Tashma, let's bring a conclusive raya from the following braisa. Shimon Aimi, he says, which was the halacha regarding consumption, Gamal Gamal Shnei Pam. It says two times in the Torah, the prohibition of eating a camel. Echad gamal hanoyle min hagamal. One is the classic situation when the camel is born from a parent camel. Vechad gamal hanoyle min hapar. One's a camel born from a cow. Says Reb Shimon, v'im reisha v'rubi demel ima, and if its head and the majority of its body is similar to its mother, mutta b'achila then is permitted to be eaten, says the Gemara clearly, shmamina, we refer from here, l'achila nami boy Reb Shimon reisha v'rubi, shmamina. That also for consumption, he requires the similarities, not just for b'chayra, but also for eating, to be similar in its head and the majority of its body, and if it's only somewhat similar, that wouldn't be enough, it would still be prohibited as a tamei habam, an atar, as a gamal, as a camel. If the Gemara quotes the halacha of our Mishnah, that was regarding this topic that we're discussing, because whatever comes out from a non-kosher animal is considered non-kosher, which this is the opinion that we said in the Mishnah, and what comes out of a kosher animal is considered kosher. It depends on the parent. If the child is a horse, but the parent is a, and this is not like the opinion of Reb Shimon, this is the opinion of the Rabbanan, Tamei minatar is going to be tar. Tar minatamei is going to be tamei. Whatever the parent is, that's what the child is going to be like. Because it's all derivative of a kosher animal. Now, relating to this question, the following question from Rav Sheshes. So, it sounds like from our Mishnah, what comes from a non-kosher animal, even though it's something like a kosher element, would be considered non-kosher. So, the question was, what's the halacha with urine of a donkey? What's the halacha? Are you allowed to eat that or not? No. So, the Gemara asks, why asking specifically by a donkey? I'm asking regarding horses and camels. Says the Gemara, no, the susim begamam loy mebayilu. They didn't have the question regarding horses and camels because the loy achiri, the urine is not murky. The loy dama luchalav, it doesn't look like milk at all, which we had taught in the previous daf that the milk also from a non-kosher animal is forbidden. Maya ul maya nafik, urine is water comes in, water goes out, and it's obviously not like the non-kosher animal. It's water. Kika mebayilu de chamar. Our whole question was regarding the urine of a donkey. The achiri bedama luchalav, there it's murky and it's similar to milk. My, what's the halacha? What's the question? Migufi komim tzisi v'asiri? Is it getting excreted from the body of the donkey and therefore it's forbidden? It's not just like water coming out. There's something here from the animal and that's forbidden. Like milk, which is not just water, although it's a liquid, it has from the animal itself. Maybe no, it's really water coming in, water coming out. And this that it's murky is havla de bisruhu. It's because the heat and this and the filth of the flesh that's giving off that heat, that's what's making it murky. But the truth is, it's really the same water, and therefore it should be permitted. So Amal Rav Sheshi said Tinesuah. We learned this halacha and halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that which comes out of a non-kosher animal is non-kosher. What comes out of a kosher animal is kosher. Now he makes the following inference: mitame loy kamar doesn't say from the non-kosher animal, which would have sounded like that if it comes from the body of the non-kosher animal, only then is it forbidden. Ela min, as we continue to base hatame, it says the word min from the non-kosher animal. Now the word min sounds like it goes with the word min with a yud, which is like that same species, like the same type as a non-kosher animal. Now, the hanenami mini de tamehu. This urine is also like a species like that which is like of a non-kosher animal, because like we said, it's similar to milk. And therefore, actually the urine of the donkey will be forbidden to be eaten, just like milk of a donkey is forbidden. This is also like the min hatame. Now, vegetami, those say the discussion a little bit different. The susa migamam lekimibailu, why didn't we ask the question regarding the horses and camels? Is because dole shasu inchi. No one drinks the urine of horses and camels. The question we had only asked was regarding a donkey, because the shasu inchi yuma alu liarkaino, because people drink the urine of a donkey because it's good for jaundice, certain type of disease. My, what's the halacha? Vadam Rav Sheshes, he said to them, Tinisu, we learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hayitzim that tame tame, what comes out of a non kosher animal is non kosher. Hayitzim that tarato, what comes out of a kosher animal is kosher. Vaninami, tamikasi, this is also coming from a non kosher animal because it was in the body of a non kosher animal. So though it's not really being excreted from the body of the animal, it's like just coming in, going out, it's still going to be forbidden. Now, on this halacha, the way that Rav Shesha said, the Gemara says Mesavid. That's from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Memneima Omru Devash Devar Mutter. Why did they say that the honey from a bee is permitted? Generally, elements that come out from a non-kosher creature is forbidden. Why is honey that comes from a bee, which is non-kosher, permitted? Says the Braisa, the reason is because what happens is they eat the nectar from the trees, and it goes into their body, and from that's where the honey is made, in their intestines. But they don't squeeze out the honey megufin from the body of the bee itself. It's just something extraneous that goes in and comes out, and if it's not from the bee itself, and if it's not prohibited. Now that's difficult to Rav Sheshes, because here you have a case where, since it's not coming from the body itself, it's permitted, and yet he said that, yeah, the urine, who cares, it comes in now, but it's coming from a non-kosher animal, and therefore it's forbidden, which is the murky urine. Why is that different than the honey of the bee? Says the Gemara, you're right. But who, Rav Sheshes, that he said whatever was in the non-kosher animal can be considered non-kosher, is Dama Rabbi Yaakov. He says like Rabbi Yaakov. Dama, that he says that the reason why honey from a bee is permitted is not because it only came into the body and it's not from the body of the non-kosher animal itself. Rather, the honey of a bee, the Torah explicitly permits it, and it's Xeris HaKasim. But generally, if it did go into the animal of the non-kosher animal, like the urine of a donkey, it would be forbidden. The time like learn the Braisa. Rabbi Yaakov Eimer, he says, the Pasuk in Mayukra says, however, this you could eat from all the vermin of the, all that crawls from a flying creature. Which, what's that referring to? That this, the grasshoppers, you could eat. It's a sheretz ha'if, it's a bird that crawls. But v'yata'ichel sheretz ha'if tamim, but you can't eat the vermin of the non-kosher birds, which are other non-kosher flying insects. Now, on that, the question on Rabbi Yaakov is, Sheretz Eif Tamei, regarding the vermin of the non-kosher flying creatures? Behediksev, we have a pasuk in Vayikra Yadav that says clearly, Es Eile Teshakzu Naif, it says, these are an abomination from those that fly. We have an explicit pasuk that already says the prohibition of the Sheretz Eif Tamei. Why do we need this inference from this, you know, Chagavim, you could, but that you can't, but that's an explicit pasuk. Ella, rather, what's Rabbi Yaakov saying? Sheretz Eif Tamei Iyata Eichel. In other words, yeah, we want the diuk of saying vi'i'ata, that you can't eat the sheretz of tamei, because we want to make a double inference. Oh, because we want to say, yes, it's only the sheretz of tamei itself that you can't eat. Avlata eichel masha of tamei mashritz, but you could eat what the sheretz of tamei itself then spawns, meaning except for the child, which is like it itself, which is itself a sheretz of tamei, but what comes from it, like honey, that is permitted. The Ezezeh, what specific one is that talking about? Zed Vash Devarim, that's the honey of bees. So you see, Rabbi Yaakov, yeah, really would be forbidden. It's just that because the Torah is explicitly telling you something that comes out of a non-kosher animal is going to be permitted, which is referring to the honey of the bees. Now, continues Rabbi Yaakov, so Yochel Af Devash HaGazin, so you would think that the same thing would apply to the honey of this gazin, which is a type of arbe, of locust, or vatsirin, of wasps, that maybe their honey would also be permitted. Amar Loi, no, you're going to say that wouldn't apply. On that, the question is, Amari Isla Rabbis Devarim, where do you see fit to include specifically the honey of bees, which are also a sheretz oif that's forbidden? Ulohaiti hagazn vatsirin, that to exclude the gazn vatsirin, that their honey is going to be still prohibited. Says the Brisa, Marba ni Devash Devarim, I'm going to include the honey of bees, she'en l'shem levai. It doesn't have any secondary name to it. When we say honey, Devash, we refer to the honey of bees. Umaitani Devash hagazn vatsirin, and therefore I'm going to exclude the honey of the gazn vatsirin, she'esh l'shem levai, which they do have a secondary name. You call it Devash hagazn. So therefore, when including something that's a product of a sheretz of tummy, it's the name itself of only Devash, that's specifically regarding the Devash devarim, and therefore that's exeris hakasim. But you're right, you see from Rabbi Yaakov that generally something like Devash of the gazn vatsirin, something that comes from a non-kosher animal, even though really it's not coming from the animal itself, is going to be forbidden. So that's exactly like what we had said before in this halacha that's being interpreted, that yes, the urine of the non-kosher animal, like the chamar, is going to be forbidden, and therefore it's not difficult what we had said before. It's actually his opinion is just like the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, and that's what Rav Sheshes was saying. Now continues the Gemara and says, okay, so kaman hazla hadetanya. So who is the following brisa going like? The brisa says, devash hagazn matzirin tahar, the honey from these gazn matzirin is pure, meaning it's not going to be able to receive tumas eichel. Generally, a food item is susceptible to tumah. So he was saying that no, these honeys of these creatures that generally we're assuming it's not going to be eaten, and although, like the Braisa says, a mutter b'achil, it's permitted to be eaten, but generally people don't eat it until you specifically think you want it to be eaten, so therefore it's going to be tar from receiving tuma, because it's not yet designated as a food item, but it's going to be permitted to be eaten. Who's that like? Says the Gemara, obviously, like Rabbi Yaakov, because as we taught, he says explicitly it's only Gzeis HaKasim by Dvash Devarim, but not the other honeys, but rather the other opinions that we had asked from on Rav Sheshes, from that Braisa, that they clearly would hold that, yeah, the urine of the donkey would be permitted, and the honey from the even from the gazan and tzirin, because since it's something from external and it just happens to go through the body, that's not prohibited. Number one thing the Gemara says, what you see from this last Braisa, when it says regarding the honey of this wasp and of this locust, that tahar, the honey is pure, ami boi machshava. Obviously you see that you would need to think about it, you want it to be eaten, only then would it be considered an eichel to be susceptible to tumas eichel, which as some texts bring down the inferences, but that means to say that the honey of bees would not require machshava and would automatically be mekabel tuma. And that says the Gemara, tanim hocha, similar in the Braisa, that specifically dvash bekevarte. Only honey in the hive, which wasn't even thought about that it wants to be eaten, because it's still in the hive. And that's specifically talking about the honey from bees, because a kaveris, that type of hive, is only by the devarim of bees. And that's as the braisa, metame tumas eichlin shleba machshava, and still going to be susceptible to food item tumah, even without thinking about it. But the inference is that those other types, the vash of the tzirin and of the gazan, actually would require machshava, so although that they could be eaten, but they're still not going to be susceptible to tumas eichlin yet. Continues the Gemara, Chali the Achmurta. The Achmurta is a type of an animal that there's a Chali, which is like the testicles of a male animal. These Yachmurs have it come out from their womb. Now, Sabraban Lamemer, so the rabbis thought to say that Bayin in Uvasirin, that what are these clumps coming out of the Yachmur? That they're actually the testicles from the male animal that mates with it, that gets detached during mating. And therefore, it's Eivim Menachai, it's a limb from a living creature, which came off from the male and in the womb. And now that it's coming out, so that's Eivim Menachai, which is forbidden to be eaten. Avadim Rav Safri says, no, Zara Da'ayalahu. You know what's coming out of the Achmor? It's actually the seed of the heart, like the male deer. The Azul Basayalta, that going after the hind, which is the female deer, to mate with its species. But the Aid the Rachmatzar, as Chazal say many places, that the female deer, its womb is very narrow. So let me daka, because it doesn't want to mate with its male. So the Azl Basa Yachmurta Venasri. So the heart goes to a different creature, goes to the Yachmurta, and it pours in a lot of seed, and it congeals inside the Yachmur, and that's what comes clumping out, and therefore that's nothing. That's like seed, which is permitted. It's not even the Chaim, therefore actually those clumps that come out are permitted. Similarly, Umar Avuni says, The skin that comes opposite the face of a donkey, which is like the placenta, this little sack that a donkey is born in. So there's this little film that comes opposite the face of the donkey. So that's Ravun the Mutter. It's permitted. My time, what's the reason? Pirshabamahu, it's just excrement. It's something that's not an Avram and a Chai, it's not a living creature. It's just like the similar to what we said before, seed and these excretions. There's no prohibition on it. Now, Amli Rav Chizdi says, Tan demasei elach, we have a braisa that supports you. Why? The braisa says, Ar habo keneged panav shel adam. The skin that comes opposite the face of a person, says the braisa, bein chai bein meis, whether alive or dead, tar. It's going to be pure, where although a dead person contaminates by touching, by carrying, in the yayel, this skin will be tar. My love, and that says Rav Chizdi, isn't the braisa saying, Bein hu chai v'imachai, whether the fetus is alive or the mother is alive, bein hu meis v'imai meis, so whether the fetus is dead and even the mother is dead, doesn't make a difference, even if both of them are dead, even so, this skin is not going to contaminate. Obviously, you see that the placenta, these types of skins, is not from the mother, not from the child, it's just like waste matter, and therefore it doesn't have the prohibitions of the animals, and therefore wouldn't have the tumma of them either, so therefore it's not going to contaminate, even though they're both dead like nevela. And that says, Rav Nalai, no, it's not a raya. You could say, and as the text of Rashi is, Bein hu chai b'imoy chaya, whether the fetus is alive or the mother is alive, Bein hu meis, when it says that, or whether it's dead, that's only specifically regarding the fetus. Whether the fetus is dead, v'imoy chaya, and the mother is alive. Meaning, because you could really say that the placenta is a part of the mother, and the mother is still alive. And therefore, it's not going to contaminate. But you're right, regarding eating, even if you're saying it's the mother, but if the mother is forbidden to be eaten, so too then the placenta would be forbidden, as we were talking about from a non-kosher animal, like a donkey, that actually would be forbidden. And that says the Gemara, but Vatanya learned clearly in the Brice, it says, Bein hu chai v'imai chai, whether the fetus is alive and the mother's alive, Bein hu meitz v'imai meitz, so whether the child is dead and the mother's dead, that when we're talking about humans, it's not going to contaminate. Says the Gemara, Itanya, if you have a brisa, and clearly you have a brisa, and that would be a conclusive proof that, yeah, the placenta and these excrements that come out are not considered part of the creature at all, and actually could be eaten. It's not going to contaminate tum. It's not considered part of the non-kosher element, which was like the discussions we were having before, that it's something that's totally extraneous to the creature. It doesn't have those prohibited elements like the creature itself. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and a similar concept of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about something that's different inside the animal than in the animal itself, which, like in the previous mission, we said if a kosher animal gives birth to a non-kosher animal, it's going to be kosher. If the non-kosher animal gives birth to a kosher animal, it's going to be non-kosher. Similarly, our Mishnah says regarding dag, a fish that's tame, non-kosher fish, shebala dag tar, which swallows a kosher fish, which sounds like, as the Gemara will discuss, that we know for sure we saw that it swallowed a kosher fish, so muta bachila. Here, that in contrast to the previous Mishnah, although we're finding a kosher fish inside, but the mother's a non-kosher fish, but it's, as the Mishnah will explain, it's something totally different, so the kosher fish inside could be eaten. Whereas v'tar shebala dag tamei, a kosher fish as well as a non-kosher fish, asa b'chila, the non-kosher fish inside would be forbidden to be eaten. As our Mishnah explains, why it's different than the previous Mishnah, is l'fisha ein gidulai. Here, it didn't give birth to that what's inside of it, rather swallowed it whole as alive. But as we said in the previous Mishnah, if it would have spawned it, if it would have grown it, then yes, it would be permitted because whatever comes out of a kosher animal is kosher, even though it looks like a non-kosher fish. But here, since it's swallowed from the outside, therefore it's going to be dependent on what that is, not what the mother is. Now, so the Gemara asks, sounds like from a Mishnah, time of the Chazine Debala, since we saw that parent fish swallow this other fish, so it's going to go based on the fish that was swallowed, not on the parent fish. But if we didn't see that it swallowed it, then we would say that actually it spawned it. So even if you find a kosher fish inside the non-kosher fish, we would say that it spawned in the body of the non-kosher fish, actually the fetus of the mother fish, and it's going to be forbidden, even though it actually looks like a kosher fish. And Manolam, where do we know this idea from? The Tanlik learned the Braisa, that Tag Tamei Mashritz, a non-kosher fish, spawns its fetus inside the body of the fish, like other mammals and wild animals. Whereas dag tar, the kosher fish, is actually matl bayim. It actually lays the eggs, and it sits on them, and it warms it up until it comes out from its shell, similar to that of birds. So, says the Gemara, the inference of our Mishnah is, only if we saw that it swallowed the kosher fish, is the kosher fish inside going to be permitted. But if we didn't see, although it looks like a kosher fish, but we could say that it's a child of the non-kosher mother, and it's going to be forbidden. So that has to get mo. Well, if that's the case, that like we're saying from this price, that we just prove that a dag tummy is mashur, it's a non-kosher fish. Yes, the its children fish will be inside it, and therefore we say even though it looks kosher, but it'll be like the previous Mishnah that okay, the parent's not kosher, the child's going to be non-kosher. So then the question is, so ki chazina the bull, then even halacha of a Mishnah then, even if we see that it swallowed a kosher fish, Amina, we should say hi, this one that it swallowed iachla, it already got digested. And it's already in its waste matter. The high and this that we're finding inside of it, a kosher fish, ashrutzi ashrutz. Maybe that was the one that it spawned inside. It's actually its fetus, and therefore it should be forbidden, like we said, because even if it's kosher, but if it's coming from the non-kosher mother, it's going to be forbidden. So why do we say in that Mishnah that's going to be permitted? So that the Gemara gives a few different approaches. Amr Rav Sheshes, he says, the halacha of our Mishnah is told about where we find it in its waste matter, in the fecal, where it's had this fish been the fetus, then you would find it in the reproductive, in the womb, not in the digestive tract. So if it's that means to say, obviously went through its eating and therefore it swallowed it. So that's how we know that it's going to be permitted. Rav Papam, he says, k'gad shemotzu derech beis ablia, similar answer. He says you find it in its throat where it's swallowed. So obviously then it's something that came from the outside and not a child that was born from the mother parent. Rav Nachman, he says, k'gen shematzu shalom. If you find it complete, it's totally matured. So if it was a child that was born from the mother, it would have not been delayed in the womb so long. It comes out in a pretty immature stage and then matures outside. If it's totally mature, then obviously that's telling us that it was well from the outside. Rav Ashi, he says, that actually, our Mishnah is not talking about, as we had assumed up until now, that we saw that it swallowed the kosher fish. Rather, we find it inside. But don't the words of the Mishnah seem to indicate when it says that it swallowed the kosher fish sound like that we saw? Says Rav Ashi, no. Since Rav Dog and Bimina and Mashritz, and since most fish generally spawn fish that are similar to the species of the mother, and here we see that it's spawning a different species, Ukemisha Balafanenu Dome. Then that's as if it swallowed a kosher fish in front of us, and that is, we're going to assume that it was swallowed and not spawned inside, and that's why, yeah, even if we didn't see it swallowing, but you find a kosher fish inside a non-kosher fish, we're going to say that it probably swallowed it, and therefore that's why it's going to be permitted to go ahead. But you're right. In the general situation, the first three opinions held that, okay, then we would suspect that it was spawned. And he says, no, generally you're going to find a kosher fish, you're going to assume that it came from the outside, and that's why the halacha of a Mishnah, unlike the previous Mishnah, which is, well, how do you get in and feed is inside, that's not like the case of how fish consume. There it's going to be forbidden, but here Rav Ashi said that, yeah, then it's going to be permitted because we're going to assume it came from the outside.